Succession number 11941, rule 4.
Breakout from the Ghazala box, Mr. Nimmons.
We're in danger of being cut off. The 6th Battalion had already been surrounded, and we were told to retire in order to hold a line west of Matru. Matru were expected to be relieved by the New Zealanders. And to do this, we had to go through the Italian lines and then retire down from the Ghazala Pass. And
that just took you onto the coast road, had
it? On the coast road, Tobruk. Down past Tobruk, and sort of nearly into Matru. And then we cut off, and eventually we stopped in a wadi. And that night, we thought there was something going to be off, so myself and the young cook, corporal, went up into the escarpment to see if we could see if anything was coming around. But Jerry was actually coming around that way, and we didn't see him. So, not hearing any firing or anything going on behind, I said to the young chap, "Well, look, there's nobody there, so you just climb out of your slit trench and make your own way back down into the wadi and get away." And funnily enough, I never saw that lanny from then to now. And eventually, I rolled out myself, went back down, tried the office truck. Wouldn't start, being demobilised. And there was a slow-moving vehicle going along a track. And I managed to get a hold of that, and I grabbed hold of the tailboard, pulled myself up, and I got one wound in the back and one through my arm.
This was with rifle fire.
Yes, not a spando machine gun. At this point, I was taken prisoner. And incidentally, this particular time, Wakenshaw, VC, he got his in the same action.
Had you any idea where the rest of the battalion were?
No, it was actually just a small company who couldn't see anybody else at all. And the Germans just came round and were taken prisoners, and went up on, had to be go up onto the top of this escarpment with sentries round you. And
you were able to walk up?
Oh, yes. After about 7 hours, we were taken in trucks back to the German headquarters, and they checked the wound dressings and things, and they were given the option that any wounded could go on the ambulance. At that point, there were problems, but I decided that I would march with the remainder of the lads. And we had an escort of a jeep with Italian sentries in, and there was two sentries on foot. And they were marching us back up towards the box, up to... And there was an armoured car out on patrol from Mersey Matru, and they retook us, took Italian prisoners, and we were sent back on a truck to a little medical station where my wounds were given another look at, and I had a tin of beans or something for there. And from that point, I was then on to the underground hospital, the German hospital, at Mersey Matru.
How would you felt that basically you're a prisoner? You felt that was it?
That was it, yes.
Yeah. And then the armoured car appeared?
The armoured car appeared, and it was, well, you were hilarious.
Could you estimate how many was in your group?
There must have been 150 to 200 men.
So all those men got released?
Yes, yes.
Were they 9th Battalion or a mixture?
It would be mostly 9th. There was a lot of them didn't get away as easy as I did. There was one chap, there was quite a few were taken in prisoners in the ambulances, you see. In fact, I met one over 2 years ago, and he was returning. He'd fought with the Italian, Italians were fighting against the Germans at that point. And I said, well, how did he get there? He said, oh, I was taken prisoner. And he says, you know, the truck I was on, he says, it was just going slow, and he says, I eventually hit it. I said, yes, and I was in the same truck as you, lad.
So your wounds were addressed. What happened next?
Went on to the German hospital, and again I was checked over. Now they must have had word that Jerry was advancing very quick, and were just put onto ambulances, and it was just hell for leather down the coast road to Alexandria. And the lads got into the beds, and I was left just lying on the stretcher.
Was this in the hospital?
In the hospital itself, yes. And there's one of the chaps there. I said, hey, lad, what's the matter with me? Do you want I get a bed? Oh, he said, I thought you had the eye tie. I got pushed into the bed, and about the next day, we were moved down to the docks and onto the hospital ship Arbor, and taken over to Haifa. And from there to the Sarafan garrison, to the 23rd Scottish General. And again, I was operated on, and things weren't, it was amazing. There was something, a couple of days after, I felt a swelling in my arm. And this young Scotch girl, Sister Noon, I'll never forget her, said, what's the matter? I said, it's swelling. She said, I'll get a probe. And she put the probe up where the bullet had gone straight up. And she pulled off, she says, there's something there. She pulled part of my greatcoat out. And that was what was causing it to swell. So after that, I never looked back. I was quite good.
And the treatment was good in the hospital?
They were very good, yes. The nurses couldn't do enough for you.
And were they British?
They were British, yes, they were. Mm-hmm. Of course, the discipline had to be strong, because...
What form did that take?
Well, it's just, you're just told to do something, and if you didn't do it well, they'd add three stripes up, and they would come and see, would you see that it got done? But we used to help the nurses with pulling the beds out and things like that for them. In fact, we had one chap who had been wounded in the leg, and right behind the leg, and it was shrapnel leg. And the sister said to me, she says, well, will you come and help me with this fellow? I said, man, what have I got to do? Oh, she says, I'll show you. She says, just get a hold of his toes tight, like that. Grip it in your fist. And that was sufficient to relieve the pain, so she got that piece of shrapnel out. Yeah. But you had to, because they were so good to you. You had to help them if you could.
What time were you there?
I was admitted to the 23rd Scottish on the 30th of June. And I left the about a month.
And where did you go to then?
I went to the ITD base depot, Geneva.
ITD's infantry?
Training depot, yes.
And what was it like there?
It was a bit rough. They were very strict. You were made to feel the best thing you could do is to get out of it. And I was due for a medical board for my arm at the time, and I was on traction. I said, well, how do I get out of here? Well, he says, you volunteer to go back to your battalion. Right? I says, put my name down for the next draft.
What training were they giving you in this depot?
You're only doing marching and spit and polish guards, There's no real training. You lay about half the time. And eventually I was posted back to the 9th Battalion on the 21st of October, 42.
And had there been a change of duties for you?
Yes, my sergeant's post in the order room had been filled, and I was asked to take quartermaster sergeant with CQMS at B Company. And eventually I arrived over there. And
what's the role of a CQMS?
Well, he's responsible for ration strength, seeing the rations are brought in, see the cooks comply with the meals, and rations of all sorts, water, clothing, anything for the pull-through for his rifle, or any clothing at all.
Is there any ammunition supply work with it?
Well, that was covered with the company sergeant major. He kept the ammunition stakes.
Who was commanding B Company?
Major Worrell. He was a hunting horn major.
What was he like?
He was blusterous, from what I knew, because I wasn't with him very long, really. But he was the type of chap that'd say, well, I met the chap that took over from me. We'd go down to Gateshead now, and he said he'd been on a push, and they'd done particularly well, the lads in B Company. Oh, he says, what am I saying? He says, give them a rum ration right down. He says, I can't give them a rum ration. I'm not supposed to. He says, it's only very, very, very special occasions that you get a rum ration. And he says, you get... And he says, I got the lieutenant quartermaster to finish, and he's dead enough. But he's a blustery sort of fellow, you know. Yes. And that...
This must have been close to the beginning of the El Alamein battle.
Yes.
What was your role in that?
Well, the before the men went into action, we had to get the cooks to make a meal for them, and it had to be taken up the line. And so the lads could get the meal in and get everything going in. But on the way up, the barrage, which we knew nothing about, started, and I've never heard anything so heavy as in my life. The flashes and the noise was terrific.
Was this the barrage of the 23rd of October?
That's right, yes. And eventually we got up, gave the men a meal, and hot meal, and I sat down for a meal, and I couldn't eat it. And the storeman said, well, what about some bully beef and piccalilli? Well, I said, I've never eaten piccalilli from then until now.
What was the cause of that? Was it...
I think it was the tension more than anything. You just didn't know what it was. You didn't know where you were. You know, it was seemed to be right on top of you. You know, and it continued all the time you were moving up.
Yeah. How far behind the forward companies was the cookhouse making up the meals?
Oh, it was in a different place from the men altogether.
How far back?
Oh, it was. Be five or six miles back. Yeah.
How long were you with the battalion at this point?
With the battalion? Well, I joined the battalion on the 21st of October. That's only what Alamein was.
2 days later.
2 days later, yes.
And how long were you with them? How long did you stay with the battalion?
I was back in the hospital just after the men went into action. Yes.
And what was the cause of that?
That was I think it was the infective hepatitis. That's what it was. It was a strict non-fat diet.
Where had you been moved to?
I was moved down to the South African hospital at Kassassin.
Was it? How did that compare with the hospital you'd been in?
Well, there was. There's quite a lot of blacks around there, but not taking anything to do with the patients at all, but the general duties, the cookhouse and things like that. Anyway. And there was quite, there was some South African soldiers in there. And British, yes.
Were the South African medical staff?
Oh, yes, yes.
How did they compare? How did you find them?
They were very good, very quiet. There wasn't the discipline that we had in ours. No. They were rather gentle, you know.
How long were you in?
That was... I was posted back to the ITD on the 7th of January, 43. And at that point, then, I was posted straight to the 18th Battalion DLI.
Was this a complete Durham Light Infantry Battalion, the 18th Battalion?
No. There was DLI, there was Border Regiment, Green Howards, Leicester Regiment, Highland Light Infantry, Gordons, and others, which I can't remember. And the OC of the actual brick itself was Colonel Ralston.
Can you tell me what a brick was?
Well, it was a base on which to build, and sped from that point, build further until you got to your docks, you know, until you advanced so far that you could take over the dock and run supplies in from there.
So, what was its exact role in a landing situation?
Well, first it established a beachhead after the initial assault had gone in, and they ran the beachhead for everything coming in. There was tracking laid down for trucks to go out, and of course your landing craft could come practically right into the beach at that time. And
was its role then to in effect unload ships and organise the beachhead into?
Oh yes, unloaded. We had stores officers and checkers. Used to go out to the beach and take the bills of lading from them. And, of course, they had the little amphibious crafts that they went out in. And...
Exactly how was it constituted, this battalion?
Well, there was a headquarter company, which consisted of four officers... Sorry... Nine officers, a WO2, a colour sergeant, eight sergeants, nine corporals, lance corporal, eight lance corporals, with a total of 143 in strength. Now, that was the headquarter company. The actual brick headquarters, there was four officers, including the full colonel, a WO1, a two WO2s, two sergeants and one private soldier. That was a total of 10. Our defence company consisted of five officers, a WO2, a colour sergeant, four sergeants, four corporals, four lance corporals, 86 privates, was a total of 105. That was a combined strength of 258 for the brick headquarters, HQ company and the defence company.
And that was the basic...
That
brick
was
itself.
The basic brick, yes.
What was inside a headquarters company? You say headquarters company. Was that similar to a headquarters company in a
normal yes. Time? Yes, you had your transport, your signals, your medical.
You must have needed specialist people as well to handle and to work machinery and so forth. Where did they come from?
Well, they had the Royal Engineers, detachments of Royal Engineers. Was a detachment of Corps of Military Police. Of course, they were out on the roads directing the forward troops. And of course, there was an RAMC section. They were out too.
So these were skilled men.
They were the skilled men, yes.
And they were attached to the brick. As long as it existed on the beaches, or yes. Was it a permanent attachment?
Well, no, the REs moved out. The Corps of Military Police, they stayed with the BRIC until you eventually moved forward to the town. And then they took over the duties of policing the town.
In a training situation, no doubt you'd gone into training. Can you tell how a beach actually operated, beach brick operated, from the time it landed?
Oh,
what
yes.
What it was doing and what was happening?
Yes. It was a question of getting in. You know, you were the landing, LCTs, the landing craft troops. Well, they could go in much further than the bigger type. But the result was that you went in, and of course, if your water was deep, you went down. And eventually you got through what... there was no spare clothing. It dried out on you. And you had your own little tin of meths. You did your own hot drinks, and you had biscuits with you. And of course, the stores came on afterwards for each company. And
so you'd have a bridgehead of some kind by then.
Oh, yes.
And you would know basically where the boundaries of the bridgehead were.
That's right.
What was your task in relation to setting up depots or supply places within the bridgehead?
Yes, well, as they came off the LCTs, the trucks would deliver to a certain point and make a stock point there. And rations and RSC personnel came in later, because there was already, we already had stocks on board our own supplies on the ships, you see. They came off, just followed us off as we went on.
Who was responsible for identifying a place within a bridgehead for a certain supply area depot?
Well, Colonel Ralston. Yeah, that was all planned long before the actual invasion came. They knew exactly where to go.
And on the beachhead itself, who was guiding the lorries of supplies?
Oh, we had any spare boards, store checkers. They had gone in probably day one. We're now at D1. It was an hour after the invasion, and they knew where they were going, and they would take us round, show us, and you dashed off as sharp as you could.
So how quickly did the rest of the beach brick follow the initial invasion force?
In all, the last of the beach brick would be about D plus six.
Is that D plus 6 days?
Hours.
6 hours?
Yes. No. Yes.
So your role then was to organise the beachhead?
That's it.
Were there any other units that helped you in that?
Not really. They'd more or less moved out to follow the troops out. They were marking lanes for guidance for the troops, you see.
After the initial supplies had come in, and the larger ships then started to arrive, what was your responsibilities then?
Well, we were still getting rations from the points and delivering to our own troops. Now, the other people, their quartermasters would be doing the same thing. They would have to go to a special point to pick up that what they wanted,
so
you see.
So units who were ahead doing the fighting and whatever,
that's right,
would come back to you,
well,
pick up with their own troops,
yes,
their supplies.
Well, the quartermaster was Sam Major. We'd pick up his ammunition, you see.
What was your role in the brigade?
Well, my role at that point, I was CQMS of HQ Company. My role was to get our rations in and get it cooked, see that it was cooked in water. And of course, we landed with water trucks, you know.
Did you have any problems when you talk about these large, huge quantities of supplies coming in? Did you have any problems of pilfering?
Oh, yes. It wasn't so much from the boat side, it was when they eventually got into these dumps. And at that time, we were getting these American care rations. Well, there was a particular point in the care ration where if they cut in and took a piece of the cardboard away, they got the cigarettes out. and numerous occasions there was cigarettes missing.
Did this mean that you'd be particularly alert to who was working within the dump areas?
Well, you see, we had no control over them people at all. They were just there. That was their job. And you just had to take it, grin and bear it. But the obvious thing was that we had some good new old emergency chocolate in the thick tins. And we had the hardtack biscuits. Well, in the field just beside us, there were some Americans. And the Americans loved our old chocolate and hardtack biscuits. We got American butter and their biscuits from them. It was great.
How long would a beach break operate on the beach?
I think about the most it would be 3 weeks. Because as quickly as they got to the town, the nearest town was taken over, we would move up there, take over the docks. And then, of course...
So you regulated the docks?
Oh, yes.
When a port was taken?
That's right. Mm.
And who was doing the dock work?
Well, the defence company would supply the manpower then. And, of course, your store checkers were seeing where they wanted their dumps making on the docks to be picked up by transport.
Was there any clash of commands here? I'm thinking in terms of, obviously, in using docks and ports, you would be using machinery and cranes and what have you. Did you operate those, or were you in charge of those?
No. The only people I think of would be the REs. But of course, the Italians, they were scarce, really.
So you may have different units operating the heavy machine.
Oh, yes.
But you were actually, the beach brick was in charge of what was coming off.
What was coming off and where it had to be stationed to be picked up.
And the administrative side of that, actually keeping check of it, who's... responsibility was that?
They were the officers of the store checking officers.
Of the brick?
Yes. Yeah. Because they collected the bills of lading from the ship's master.
How much training had you to do before your first action?
For the brig? We did a commando type training at one point. In fact, we wore the Tommy gun. And we were so fit that you'd start to walk and you ended up running. And it was really physical fitness all the way. Telegraph posts, and tossing them about and running and walking over soft sand down to the sea, coming back up again, inclines like that.
Where was this training taking place?
That was in not far from... It was in Palestine, the first lot. And it was near the Gaza Strip. And we were doing commander type training there, running over soft sand, full battle dress, down sand hills into the sea, and then doubled back all the way. In fact, we were so fit you couldn't walk, you had to run. And from there, we went down to Damascus in Syria. And I think this, again, was a show of strength, really, more than training. But we weren't there very long until we went up to Tunisia, and then it was the amphibious training and landing.
In Tunisia?
In Tunisia, as well as North Africa.
What time was this?
That was about the April 43.
And what form did your amphibious training for the actual beach brick work? What form did it take?
You landed from landing craft. You waded through the water and your rifles held high and eventually got on the ground and your clothes dried out on you and you spent a full day on that training.
What were you doing?
Feeding yourself. Well, we just Our main effort was not to do anything on the beach. You landed on a beach, and you made your way direct as fast as you could inland to where your company would have been situated.
So you weren't actually doing a kind of beach break training role?
Oh, no, no. No, just landing technique.
Training and landing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where was your first real action?
Salerno. Oh, I haven't got a date for Salerno.
Were you aware that this action was impending?
Oh yes, it was. We knew it was coming.
You were being told things at this time.
Yes, we had meetings and was film shows of the beaches. In fact, the strips that we had, they were bathing on the beaches. And of course, as we were going into Salerno, the Italians capitulated, but Jerry was still there.